I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Hello and welcome. I'm Father Chad Arnold, and you are listening to About 4 O'Clock, a podcast on vocations and discernment. This episode is slated to come out on July 3rd, who is the feast of St. Thomas the Apostle. And so we are naming the studio after him today. I think we're all in agreement. He gets a bad rap. Amen. Doubting Thomas. This is not.
He did other things than doubt.
He did important, worthwhile things. And so this is not the studio of Doubting Thomas. This is the studio of Heroic Thomas, as he deserves. I have one more ChatGPT written. This is why I've been such on a kick. We've been talking, obviously, today about ChatGPT throughout the day, and because this person sent me in these introductions for you guys by ChatGPT. So here we go. We're thrilled to have Father Drew on this podcast, whose rosy cheeks and infectious laughter always brighten our day. And Father Garrett, whose passion for basketball and dedication to Hispanic ministry have made him a beloved figure in his community.
Wow.
Wow. You only love two things. I guess so. And I'm chubby.
That's all. Rosie. They don't know a lot about us. I guess that's good. Like.
That's the best ChatGPT can do for you, because it's not good. Before we move on, at the time of this recording, so not when it comes out, but when we're recording it in early May, I've got a birthday coming up. Which neither of you have gotten me gifts for, by the way.
Make sure I know where that is.
I'm not yet 40, but I'm pretty close. But I wanted to warn you guys, do you know what has been the most surprising thing about getting older?
I do not.
Your rapid hair loss?
No, that's one of the great disappointing, but not surprising.
You can't speak the language. You get mad about technology. You don't understand.
I've been doing that for years. Okay. So that's not
the new. Hip pain. I don't know. Like
I did recently buy a cane. Yeah,
that's true.
No, the most surprising thing to me about getting older are my unruly eyebrows.
Jeepers creepers.
Like, just beware. Like, I know older guys that, I mean, they have, you know, bushes for eyebrows. I figured that happens, but I can't wash my hands without looking in the mirror and seeing like two antennas, like some sort of bug.
What the heck, man? They've
doubled in length. They no longer go in the same direction. Every day I have to spend more time combing my eyebrows than my hair. I was just completely unprepared for how unruly and aggressive my eyebrow hair would become closing in on 40.
How much time is that? How much time a day do you spend on your eyebrows?
Well, I spend zero time combing my hair, so any amount of time on eyebrows is more. But I do, I wash my hands, and I'm like, oh, got to get my fingers up there and straighten these eyebrows out, because it's like a part gone wrong. I don't know how to describe it.
This is like when my Grandpa Mike used to just be talking about things where like, how was the war, Grandpa?
You just wait. It's going to come sooner for you than you realize.
Wait, do you turn 40 on Friday? Or
no,
39?
39. Oh,
that's what
39,
I thought.
Yeah, okay. I'm getting close. I thought it would be post 40. Okay. I thought I had another good decade of dependable eyebrow direction. I don't.
No.
I don't. They are.
Life is fragile.
Yeah, there but for the grace of God go I. If
you saw me in the middle of the day, you'd think I'd been riding around in a convertible. Actually, that happened to me. I was driving with the top down or the top off of my Bronco, and a hair was getting in my eye. And for a second there, I felt like a young man again when my hair used to flow in my face. And until I realized it was an unruly eyebrow grown long enough to reach down to my eye.
Here?
And I felt like I went from feeling in that instant, from feeling like I was 20 to feeling like I was 90. It was a terrible moment of revelation.
And you're 100% sure it was an eyebrow hair, not a nose hair.
Yeah,
Are you confident?
Wow. Wow. At least the nose hair go with the same direction as my mustache.
Creepers, man.
Just in another 5 years, you're going to have eyebrows that match your phrase of Jeepers Creepers. I mean, I
promise that won't be the case. I don't know. I can be very confident.
I thought the same thing.
Be well groomed. I'm not good at a lot of other things.
It's
but
not a matter of grooming. They're
it
like,
seems like it might be.
They are like monsters with toxic ooze that they just double over.
Jeez, my God.
I don't know what else you could do. I mean, short of shaving my eyebrows off, I don't know what else to do in that scenario.
There is an idea. That'd be a good auction item.
They have not built the clippers strong enough to take these eyebrows on. Just so this was not what I was planning on talking about today, but I had a traumatic moment earlier today, washing my hands, like another one. And so I just, I'm trying to help you guys.
Yeah, thanks for being brave enough to share
I'm warning you. So start shopping now so you know the right eyebrow trimmer to get when you close in on 40. Because you're probably going to be safer, Drew, because blonde hairs are less noticeable. Yeah. But Garrett, it's going to be bad. I'm just saying.
Thanks for the heads up.
I should swoop your hair.
Maybe that I should try the comb back. So eyebrow hair up over the head. It'll be fashion icon. you've been warned. All right. Well, actually, rather than that, I have a game for you guys today. And like all of my games, I have no idea if it'll actually be fun or if it'll work out. But when you guys were in seminary, were there guys that kept quotes list?
We had a quotes jar, didn't we?
That was the positive thoughts.
Positive thoughts.
We burnt that when the Royals lost the World Series. My students do it all the time. My students all have notes apps of quotes.
Like Camp Toast to us, we would do it. I think, we'd have a wall.
Yeah, right. I think it's a pretty common thing. Yeah. Yeah. So one of the guys in the house keeps a quote list of different quotes he hears in the house. So I had him give me a list of a few quotes that I want to give to you guys and see if you can guess the context or who said them or what they were about. These have been, not all of the quotes were necessarily ready for air time. So we did have to do some weeding through that. But
sure.
All right. I didn't get through a year of seminary just to die to a nut.
Just to die to
a nut. Why would anyone say that?
I would guess
peanut allergy.
Yeah, I would guess you were at like maybe some Vietnamese restaurant and there was a peanut-based paste that was used.
Well played. It was by a guy who has a nut allergy, but it was because another guy in the house was offering peanuts to him. Just a jar of peanuts.
I should have guessed like a homeless man that they thought was crazy that was banging on the door. That would have been my guess if I had to go back.
All right. You're one for one. Jesus is awake, so I'm awake. Theodore Sponsel. Why did he say Jesus is awake, so I'm awake?
I bet he was doing. I was being really try hard on Easter Sunday morning. He was up like super early Easter Sunday morning, telling everybody that he was going to go pray. I'm sure everybody knew.
I'll give you that. That it was post Easter vigil, so he was driving back, pumped up in the car, and he had loud music and windows down. And one of the guys tried to tell him, "You should be worried about waking other people up." And he responded, "Jesus is awake, so I'm awake."
I think that's a great excuse for breaking curfew.
Nice. All right. When I entered seminary, I fantasized about riding around on a horse in a country parish.
I bet somebody, I don't know. I don't even have a guess for why these guys would have been talking about this. Did you guys have a horseback riding day at seminary? Yeah, that's kind of what sounds electric, actually.
They had just finished reading a diary of a country priest. So Patty Olson mentioned that in class and then was robustly made fun of by everyone else in the class. All right. My whole life, I've been a communist.
Wow. Somebody read Animal Farm and got the wrong message.
Someone read With God in Russia and really
totally missed the point.
This comes from Ethan Albers, who's from Cheney, and apparently they chant Go Big Red, and so he was just chanting that through the house one time, and someone called him on that. And Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but Taylor Swift is a close second. Who said that?
My gosh.
Can you guess who said that?
No, not my boy Sam Schmidt. He's a hater.
No.
I truly don't know.
Who said it?
Cody Fox said it.
I'm a little worried about
it. It's because the guys were accusing him of enjoying Taylor Swift too much.
Yeah.
He has a lot of her vinyl records.
I mean, again, I'm not.
I think he's got a
judging.
He's got a flag.
But that's too much.
You've never said that.
I've never compared Taylor to my Lord.
You might have to do some formation with Cody and help him find the appropriate hierarchy.
I did spend a significant amount of time creating a Taylor Swift Singo board the other day.
Singo board?
Singo, you ever play Singo?
I don't know.
It's the Prince of Games.
Oh, really?
No, it's just bingo with songs. Oh. So you get a bingo board and then...
Do you have to sing the songs?
No, it plays on... Like, you have a playlist.
Okay.
And so, like... Earth, Wind, and Fire will come on September, and everyone sings that part. If you have that, you check it off. And so it's just fun because you can just talk and you listen to music.
But then they play the whole song.
No, okay. I will usually know when I'm hosting, I know what part of it is the good part. And if you're playing it at a restaurant or a bar, they pay for it. And so they just get the good part. It's a fun game. Hmm.
All right. No toilets have ever got the best of old Zach Kelsey.
Yeah, probably post bank. I don't.
So I'll stop you there. Zach Kelsey is our maintenance man and gets called upon anytime there's a plumbing issue. And apparently, one of the time someone was encouraging him to go the next level and get the snake when all he had was a plunger. And that's when he uttered and refused to get the snake and just stuck with the plunger because no toilet's ever got the best of old Zach Kelsey.
I can picture Zach Kelsey just going to town, working on a toilet.
None of them's beat him yet. Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
I'm currently in the seminary. I don't need any more humility.
I love that.
Do you do any spiritual direction? Or
I'm sure somebody got like a letters from a school, a bunch of third graders, and he thought he was like the prince of.
No one else has ever
received as many letters as I've received from third graders.
This came from Patrick Carney, who is kind of referencing the fact that he's come to seminary later in life. So he's an older guy starting as a freshman in seminary. Squirrels are tree rats. If you can guess who, you won't guess who it is. Not a seminarian. Someone who comes to the seminary occasionally for visits.
I don't have any. Bishop.
We had to end with a quote from Bishop. Way. George sat dinner one night and he was noticing all the squirrels and they caused some damage on the church and the pastor was bemoaning that. And so Bishop just rattles off. Squirrels are just tree rats.
Wow.
You guys got more of them than I thought you would.
You did all right.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
You did pretty solid on that.
Guys are weird.
Yeah, a lot of things get taken out of context or they say things like I was editing one of our previous episodes and I was laughing because I said something dumb in there. Yeah. Made me actually laugh.
Talking is exhausting.
Talking is exhausting.
That's quotable.
We need a podcast quotes list. Someone put that together for us.
That would be bad.
Yeah, it probably would be. Don't do that. Well, in the past, we've talked about the importance of prayer in discernment, and so I want to kind of double down on that a little bit today and look at specifically the role of Mass and confession in a man's discernment. As I prepared for this podcast, this may be a really short podcast because I don't know that I have all that much to say about it in the sense that it seems too obvious to talk about, and yet I still will occasionally have guys that come to the application process who will tell me about your prayer life. They're just going to Mass on Sunday. Now, if you're living in the outskirts of the diocese or you have a job or go to a public school that prevents that, that's one thing. But this is coming from guys that have opportunity to go to Mass more than Sunday and are a little bit older. I'm like, are you really discerning this if you're only going to Mass on Sunday and you have the opportunity? Or I've even had a few guys that the Sunday obligation isn't in place yet. I'm like, we really can't move forward in discernment, in my opinion, if we don't at least have Sunday Mass in there. And I've seen guys that, it's been years since their last confession. And so maybe it is obvious and maybe this is a little redundant, but apparently at least for some people to point out that with discernment, Mass and confession have to be a part of that puzzle. And maybe that's the idea for today is we can tease that out or articulate why that is or different ways to use those sacraments both for spiritual growth and discernment. So, I don't know where we'll go with it, but I just feel like something had to be said because of guys that have come through the office. So I don't know what thoughts come to your guys' mind.
I preached about this a few weeks ago with The Road to Emmaus. Because in the Road to Emmaus story, what's going on is confusion and some heartbreak and lack of surety. And even then receiving some good advice and talking to who they don't know at the time is Jesus, but like having the scriptures explained and like all the right things are okay, are we moving in a direction, but there's still some confusion, stuff like that. And when is there clarity? When the bread is broken, right? We're not our hearts burning within us. Okay, hearts were burning within them, but there isn't clarity. It's the clarity occurs at the breaking of the bread. And that's been my experience of Mass, both in discernment and as a priest, there's so many times I've got some stuff that I've prayed about maybe. Like I've sat in the chapel and sat with it, and I've walked on my rosary walks and had it as a, okay, but it's, and not just at the moment of consecration, but it's in the celebration of the Mass that some surety, comfort, and confidence has been given to me. I found that to be the case again and again and again, just like in that story.
Yeah, I've never actually thought about the timeline of it, but just as you're speaking, that resonates with me a lot, because there are definitely moments where within the consecration, just things that I'd been thinking about, not necessarily in that moment, but previous, just there's a point of clarity. Right. And initially, I think as a young priest, I felt a little bit guilty of it, because it feels like, well, I'm not paying attention to what I'm supposed to, I need to get back to this. But no, actually, I think it is the Lord, as you say that, Drew, and I've never put that timeline with that story, but absolutely, yes, I have experienced that in my life of saying Mass, especially here at the house. I do a few more private Masses, so the pace is a little bit different.
Yeah, sure.
And but at the moment of consecration, yeah, those moments of surprising clarity. We're like, oh yeah, that's what's going on here. That's a great point. I love that.
Yeah, for me, it just makes sense, especially in terms of a priestly discernment. Like we talked in the past about all the different things a priest could do. What are the two things a priest is always going to do? Is say Mass and hear confessions. Uh-huh. If you're in the military or like whatever you're doing, you're saying Mass, right, and you're hearing confessions. So only in a spirit where that is a regular part is that going to flow from and be authentic. And obviously not like to go to seminary, you need to have that all figured out.
Right.
But that needs to be part of the foundation. It's why so often altar serving is kind of like a first,
yep,
step in a guy, like the very early stages of an initial call. So to me, one that just kind of like logically makes sense of this. If this is really at the heart of priesthood, then it's going to be at the foundation of any call too.
A big part of my discernment is when I started going to daily Mass.
Yeah.
And when we were freshmen at KU, I'd go to daily Mass off and on. I mean, Sunday was never an issue, but I'd maybe catch a daily Mass here and there. But once I taught Totus Tuus for the first time in life, I went every day. And even in high school, I would go to a daily Mass off and on. But I'd go every day in Totus Tuus. So when I got back to KU, we'd go every day. I even remember Garrett had a different schedule. He'd go up, get up sometimes and go to St. John. Like he'd get up early and go to the other parish in town to get to Mass. And that was a big element of mine, of not just connection with like what the priest says in Mass, but just love of the Eucharist. And you're going to have to fall in love with the Eucharist eventually. And regardless of what you're going to do for real joy. And so daily Mass, that repetition was really helpful there. And I had some real clarity moments just because I was going to Mass day after day after day.
Well, and pragmatically, it is a very outward sign of pointing where our priorities are at. Am I going to sleep more? Am I going to go to Mass? Am I going to make the time to get there? Am I going to plan my day so that there is time in it? And am I just thinking about God is important, or am I taking concrete steps? And ultimately, discernment is about taking more and more steps to the Lord. And this is one of those initial steps where, okay, the choices I make in a very little way throughout this day are different because of the relationship I want with God. And so if my relationship with God hasn't reached a point where I'm actually making an outward choice, I'm probably not really discerning very deeply yet, or at least ready for that next step. Because that is a big step sometimes, step into seminary. And so if I'm not changing some of those other habits along the way, it's not a great sign.
Yeah, that's like that free choice element was so beneficial for me looking back of just going to Mass even one extra day a week, even in high school. I grew to really love that just 5:30 Mass at St. Francis in the evening. It's shorter and there's just a peace about it. But it was like a decision. Like I was similar. There was never a decision about if I was going to Mass on Sunday from my perspective, from my parents' perspective. So, but a vocation again is not that way. It's not an obligation, but it's a free choice. And so to make a small free choice that I'm going to make this decision to go be with the Lord flexes those muscles and stretches that to where you begin to make that those kind of free choices and to make a free choice of a yes to a vocation down the road.
And it forces you, and all prayer does this. We had a chaplain who's given a chaplain's talk to college chaplains about working backward. It makes you work backward that the day before you have to think through the next day to make sure I can get to Mass. So I have to have scheduled, just like you're talking about, scheduling my day around that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I might need to go to bed at 10 instead of 11:30 tonight because I can only catch the 7 a.m. at St. Cat's or whatever the case might be. So, but I've got to be thinking about that because if it's 11:15 and I'm like, oh, No, I can't go to the 7. I hope I can make the noon at the cathedral. All right, well, then we've lost something of our whole day, and that's just a good spiritual practice in general to get into.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like I heard somebody say, like, you plan out your meals. Like,
yeah.
Right.
Because you know you, without your meals, you don't survive. So same thing with your prayer. And especially if you're deepening this and want to, like an exercise, you got to plan it out if it's really going to happen. If you want to discern this call, it's going to be through the Mass, and you just got to plan it out.
I think also this could be something that I did. You can practice homilies or like you can put yourself in the priest's mm-hmm. daily Mass. Mm-hmm. Daily. Oh, yeah. Sundays, I always found that hard. Like, what would I preach about for 8 to 10 minutes? But like, what's one little quick hitter I would have preached about today? And that just gives you a little practice of what a priest does. I found that helpful when I was at KU and even early in seminary.
Well, I would sometimes encourage guys, you know, if they're discerning, okay, well, visualize. Can you see yourself in there? What can you see yourself on the other side of the altar? Can you see yourself giving homilies? Is that dreadful to you, or is that an exciting thing? And I do think we were talking earlier in an earlier episode with Father Adam, the importance of friendship. And that's one of the great things of like the Knights of Totus Tuus, is it made it easier in that initial, okay, am I going to plan my day around it? Yes, I am for the Mass, but there's also this perk that there's people there that I enjoy mm-hmm. and hate, and that's okay. That's okay. Hopefully then that builds, and we've seen this with the Knights, we've seen this with other groups. Hopefully that builds to the person making that choice on their own when that support system isn't there. It doesn't always. There are guys that went to Knights just to hang out with the Knights, and that's not a bad thing, but did they progress to something more? No. When they were left on their own, did they kind of drift away from the faith? They can. But I know at least for me, it helped me in that initial stage. And then I eventually was able to take that step further on. I remember kind of the first time one summer I was working a cattle ranch. And so the first time it was like really inconvenient to go to Mass. And I had to ask myself, am I going to Mass or not? So we had to go to 6:30 a.m. Mass at C's before we got out to this cattle ranch in El Dorado. And most days we did. There were days we didn't. Again, I was a younger guy and it didn't always make that happen. But I remember the first time really being challenged, like, okay, what is the priority of the Mass here for me? This does mean I have to live a little bit differently to make this happen. And is it worth it? And that was a challenge to me and helpful in my discernment of recognizing where the Mass was for me.
And I was talking to some kids the other day that are going to start pretty quick here, get up at 6 a.m. for CAPE and summer workouts like we used to do in high school. And I didn't think twice about getting up to be at Carroll at 6:30 in the morning when I was in high school, because I loved football. Man, you couldn't drag me. And I understand it's different, but okay, what else am I getting up early for?
Juxtaposing those things, that's interesting. Yeah, I hated early morning runs for cross country, which is part of the reason I didn't do cross country all 4 years, because I hated the morning. It wasn't a high enough priority to get me out of bed. Right. At the end of the day, that's what it was. And eventually the Mass did become, and to this day, that's the first thing we start here. And I'm not a morning person, but I'm up there for morning prayer and Mass because that is a priority for me. And I think going back to what you were saying, Garrett, about serving, I do think that can be a great tool. I just had a guy in the office the other day who was in the application process, and he was talking about, you know, he always loved serving because he got close to the altar. And he said, it just felt like I was sharing something with the priest that everyone else wasn't getting. And that was an attractive thing to him. And so he would show up on days that he didn't have to go to Mass or to serve, so that he could serve, because there was enough something of the Holy Spirit working on his heart. He wanted to be closer to that altar, even as a young guy, and be a part of that. And that has been a helpful part of his discernment.
On confessions, I guess go to confession regularly. That hopefully is a given, but maybe it's not. This may not be helpful, because when I would go to confession when I was discerning, I'd always have a question for the priest, which maybe annoyed the priest, because now as a priest, it's like, there's 18 other people in this line. But it would usually be that totus tuus or something like that, or in some different capacities, or I'd just ask maybe Father Mitch or Father Steve to go to confession.
Yeah, you got to read the room.
Yeah, right. But I always have it gave me a chance. A
theological question?
No, like a seminary discernment prayer question. Like I'd have not just an Immaculate Conception question, but a question about my own prayer, about being a man. That was before I knew anything about spiritual direction or something like that. But it gave me a little interaction with a priest to be able to touch base with him before I was friends with a lot of priests and could easily text or call them to get some advice or thoughts or something like that.
Well, and I think one of the cool things about what we've been doing this season with the interviews with the priests is seeing some of the, every priest that comes in and talks about their vocation story, they're obviously all different, but you see some pretty common themes, and Mass is one of them. Confession is there. Usually I would say adoration and rosary. So like those four things, almost I think every story has had some component of that. This something happened in one of those moments where they were doing this regularly and this opened up. I don't know if we've had really, I'm sure they exist because the Lord is not bound by, the Lord can do wonderful things. But at least the normal and what we've heard from so many of these guys is Mass is there, confession is there, usually some parts of adoration, and for many of them, the rosary. Like those are, if you want to write a blueprint of this is the most standard way of discerning, boom, put those four things in and you're going to be doing pretty good.
And confession starts to get you in that mode of even starting formation, of like being honest and being known.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I remember it was at a night's Mass and I went to go to confession to Father Pat York and went behind the screen and he says, what are you doing? Get over here. Like, and I don't know. I bet I'd probably gone face to face somebody before, but that's the first time I remember. But that being like, I can be known here, warts and all, and be accepted and forgiven and grow through this was like a, not like we had really a spiritual direction at all in that moment, but that's like first initial taste of that.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about it from that angle, but I think you're absolutely right. Because there's a probably in high school and college is when I started going to confession regularly and with usually the same priest and just recognize, okay, I can be known. And he sees me in these other capacities. He knows my sin. And that's okay. That's part of this journey and being comfortable with that. That's a great point. I think too, it that initial formation, it reminds us that we're dependent upon God. And it's the seeds of, we're not going to save the church. I'm a sinner too. I'm coming in here for confession. And so I'm not going in the seminary or becoming a priest because I'm the best there is. That's that's not why the Lord calls me or is inviting me to it. I'm a person who needs confession, who sins and needs reconciliation and strengthened by the Eucharist. So,
did either of you ever make a general confession in seminary or leading in discernment at all? I never did. I've seen some like recommend it.
In seminary, I think, I know I did at least once, maybe twice, because it was recommended on a retreat or things like that. It wasn't a powerful enough experience to me that I've ever really felt the need to repeat it. Yeah, I don't know. So I've never recommended it to anyone. Mm-hmm. I've got nothing against it, but don't get in line with 20 people and decide I'm going to do a general confession sort of thing. But yeah, so I've done it a couple times. Maybe I'll do one again sometime in my life. I don't know. You didn't do it in seminary?
Yeah. I could see how it would be helpful. Like, yeah, just a general confession of your whole life. And even not just the sins could even be brought into that, but even virtues and the way you've seen God move. I could see how that would be helpful in discernment to see your life as a whole journey and story. And sometimes confession can just be like, I messed this up, forgive me, or whatever. Whereas, yeah, to expand the view of it into something larger could help in discernment. But yeah, it isn't part of my experience, but I could see it could be helpful.
Sure. The big takeaway then for this episode is if you are discerning, or if you're just trying to live the Christian life, but especially if you are discerning, make Mass, Sunday Mass, it's got to be there. That's building block. And if you can do more than that, do it. You're not going to regret it. You're not going to lose out. Make confession a regular part of your prayer life so that your soul can just be bathed in that grace again and again and again and come back to the Lord. Thanks for listening to About 4 O'Clock. If you have questions you'd like us to address, you can email us at wichitavocations@gmail.com. You can also visit us at our website, about4.org. Father Garrett's got the final word today.
This comes from just a spiritual book I was reading recently. I think whoever said it was Dorothy Sayers. She's just like a novelist, but I think it's very appropriate. So she says, the sin of modern man is that he believes in nothing, cares for nothing, seeks to know nothing, interferes with nothing, enjoys nothing, and hates nothing. He lives for nothing. He simply remains alive because there's nothing for which he will die.
See you next week.